Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Blair Nash. I'm coming to you live and direct. I have my co-host, Ted Santos, with me. Say hello, Ted.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining us.
We are going to do kind of a bit of a segue this evening. Typically, we kind of talk about relationships, usually, as you know, from a male perspective, giving you insight, giving you game, giving you kind of a directive of how to go about starting relationships, ending relationships, how to be in relationships, etc. We're going to do a little bit something different this evening, mostly because of some of the trending topics that have happened in the news cycle recently. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Nipsey Hussle, his family, friends, etc. May you rest in power. As I mentioned on the information I sent out to you all, around the time that my show was ending last week, Nipsey Hussle had been shot and, you know, for whatever word you want to say, murdered, assassinated, etc. Out in Los Angeles, and you know, we were finishing up the show and didn't have a time to properly address it. And so what we wanted to do with this show was just kind of take a moment to speak about that and speak about a few other topics. My co-host Ted Santos knew Dr. Sebi very personally, had spent some time with him, and he's going to give a little bit of, you know, kind of a history lesson and some thoughts and things I wasn't aware of when I got a chance to speak with him about it. And he's going to kind of fill you in on some things as in relation to that. We're going to talk about the whole, we're going to talk about the entire situation from pretty much beginning to end. It's pretty much all that everyone has talked about. We'll be talking about it for years to come. And we want to just kind of address it, go over some of the things that people have put out there that are not true, you know, not so true, kind of get to the facts, et cetera, et cetera. So in addition to that, one of the things we're going to be talking about is the situation with Sierra and Russell Wilson. So because of who I am, of course, I get approached a lot to quantify and give clarity to questions that people have on social media. So one of the things that people come to me and they say, Blair, hey, you know, what do you think about this whole situation with Russell Wilson and Sierra? I mean, what do you – you know, and I hear the guys' comments and everything. I have some comments of my own that I'll address later. But I want to kind of talk about that because it seems to be something where, as I mentioned also in the information I sent out to you all, that there seems to be some level of jealousy or some sort of thing going on where black men kind of are, you know, kind of up in arms because they feel like, oh, well, Russell Wilson can buy Sierra this and do this and do that. And, they, you know, these guys just jealous. That's all that is. And I'm here to tell you that ain't even close to being the truth. And we'll address that as well. Finally, one of the things we're going to talk about is a very interesting topic. So there was a young, well, I don't want to necessarily call her a young lady, but there was a woman who is was a teacher in Long Island. And Ted can kind of give a little bit more of context to the scenario because he's the one that brought it up to me. There's a teacher out in Long Island who was fired recently because there was a topless photo of hers that was circulating around the internet. So essentially, and Ted, I'm going to butcher this, so I'd like you to kind of step in for a second because you know more about the situation than I do. But right. I think it was circulating around the internet. I don't know if young guys hacked her phone or what exactly. But I really thought it would be interesting kind of tie it into some of the things that we've talked about here recently, especially as it relates to Me Too and some of the things that are going on with women and just their decisions, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to address that. I'd like to give you a second to kind of talk about that, and we're going to come back to it as well. But what could you kind of give a little bit of structure as to what happened, please?
Sure. Actually, she is a young woman. She's only 25. She's a teacher in middle school, and she sent a picture of herself topless to a boyfriend, who guy she was seeing at that time. It was several years ago. And one of the students found it, and once he found it, it was a guy, a boy found it. You can imagine once the boy saw the picture of the teacher and she's attractive, that sucker circulated like wildfire. So when the parents saw it, the parents are all outraged and say that she has a responsibility as a teacher, so they fired her. She's suing for $3 million and saying part of their argument is that, men can walk around topless and, but I think there are just so many other implications, and she addressed a number of those herself. So, yeah, we need to talk about that.
Very interesting. I mean, I the whole idea that the arguments you use of men walk around topless, I don't know if that really holds water, because we live in a society that basically says that, women, I guess you kind of have to now break down some of the restrictions that we have in this country, which basically says that when women are in public, they should be clothed. They should be, have a top on of some sort, some bra or something of some sort. That is not something that men have to have. There's no Victoria's Secret line for men or anything of that nature. So the idea that you would think that, we are somehow parallel in that aspect, I don't see that. I don't buy that. But like you said, we'll talk about that. So
Blair, there is in Central Park, a woman can actually walk around topless.
What? They're right.
Yeah, man. I was in the park, and there were three women just hanging out topless, and dudes were there with their phones, man. And the women didn't, they were not shy or bashful about it. It's legal. A woman can, if she wants to sunbathe or just walk around topless, there's some law, but I think she has to stay in Central Park. I'm not 100%, but
so basically what you're saying is if I go to Central Park tomorrow, there's a chance that I'm probably going to see women walking around with no tops on.
I wouldn't promise you that. That there is a slight chance. There's an area they call the lawn. I think they call it the lawn or the beach. It's just huge fenced in grass area. People are out there with having picnics and blankets, throwing frisbees and footballs and all that stuff. It's just extremely social area. And I've seen women out there on more than one occasion topless.
Okay. Very, very interesting. I learned so much talking to you. You just a walking encyclopedia of just random information. So yeah, that's great. So before we get rolling hard and everything, let me just kind of shout the number out. The call-in number. The call-in. Give me a second. I'm sorry. I'm trying to see something. Our call-in number to the show is 323-542-1389. Again, 323-542-1389. So give us a call and everything, and we'll get a chance to talk. So, let's break down this whole thing that we speak about with the scenario with Sierra and Sierra and Russell Wilson. So, for anybody that's done that, because, I know you didn't really know a lot about Sierra and Russell Wilson's situation, so let me kind of, for people who don't follow them, let me give a little bit of an idea of who they are. Sierra is an R&B singer. She's been out roughly, 20 years now, I would say. She started off back, she's from Atlanta, and she started off kind of around the Outkast. For anybody that knows anything about Outkast, started off with the Outkast crew and worked a lot with DJ Jazzy Faye and some other not artists but producers, and had a string of hits, from pretty much the early to mid 2000s. I mean, she just, tore the airwaves up and everything, had, multiple awards, et cetera, et cetera. So did what she did, and she, of course, as a lot of the entertainers around then, when they're young and they're coming up, they kind of what we classify as bad boys. So she dated, I believe she dated Bow Wow first, if I'm not mistaken. Anyone who might know the timeline could possibly correct me. I believe she dated Bow Wow, and she did that for a period of time. And then from there, they didn't work out for a while. And then she moved on to the notorious Beef Beefmaster on IG, Mr. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. She moved on to him. They dated for a little bit. That kind of fizzled out. He did what he did. And then she moved on after those two, quote-unquote, bad boys. She moved on to Future, who she actually has a child by. Future's a kind of an, I won't say up-and-coming rapper because he's been around for quite some time now, but he's more of the younger generation's rapper as far as the things that he talks about and everything. A lot of the people who were, you know, in their 40s and 50s may not know a lot about him. But Future is Ciara's, I guess, baby daddy, for lack of a better term, and they have a child together. I think the child probably maybe about 5 years old right now, and they were not married, but they had a child together. They eventually split up back in, I want to say maybe about 5 years ago, right around the time that the child was born. A lot of it was due to Future's philandering. He messed around with a lot, you know, he was notorious for sleeping around with a lot of industry women, a lot of fans, et cetera, et cetera. I think she forgave one of his indiscretions, and then the second one, and then the third one, she just kind of threw in the towel and said, you know what, you know, you are who you are, bro, and I got to kind of, you know, I kind of do something different here. So there was kind of a period of time where she just really slept with a number of different guys, and, you know, it is what it is. And so then from there, she had a child. So now she's, you know, slept around with industry guys. And there's also been rumors that there were other men as well, but those are the ones that we all know for sure were Bow Wow, 50 Cent, and Future, pretty much all, you know, bad boy rappers, right? So then after she got done with that, I think she kind of came to a level of clarity and then decided, you know what, this, you know, dating these bad boys, this is just not working. So from there, she started to kind of make a transition, and she met Russell Wilson. They started dating. Everything was going well. Everything was going well, is going well. Russell kind of took Ciara's son in, literally, and began kind of to be kind of a father figure to her son. From there, they, you know, their relationship blossomed, and of course they ended up being married, and it appears from all intents and purposes that it's going to be kind of a happily ever after, depending upon who you ask, because there are a number of black men specifically, who feel that Russell kind of, for lack of a better term, sold himself out, and really the idea that he would, deal with someone with, quote-unquote, the likes of Ciara, is somewhat beneath him. So that's one of the things that we're going to be discussing this evening, and we'll be taking calls on that here very shortly and allowing people to kind of talk about that, because I know that's something that I get asked, I mean, literally every week. So, again, and I might have given out the incorrect number. The number is 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. So, in addition to that, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things we're going to be speaking about is the untimely death of Nipsey Hussle. You know, with the situation being as it is, any time that there's a shooting or a death, you know, it's an extremely morbid and sad occasion. So, as I said earlier, rest in power to Nipsey and everyone that's connected to him. There is, you know, since he died, I mean, that's been, you know, now 7 days. And since that's happened, I mean, unless you've been just under a rock somewhere, if you go on social media, you'll hear people just kind of, you know, kicking their own philosophies about what happened. Was it just simply a gang hit? Was it some knucklehead out there who, you know, got his feelings hurt and, you know, decided he wanted to, you know, exact vengeance on Nipsey Hussle? Or was it possibly a scenario where the CIA or the FBI or some other, you know, large entity actually got into the ear and maybe, you know, set him up a little bit of money and made this guy take the fall for the execution of Nipsey Hussle? So there, you know, you have two polarizing views on what's going on. You have people who say, well, you know, that was just simply, you know, excuse me for saying this, niggas just being niggas, pretty much. And then on the other side, you have folks who say, well, this is actually an orchestrated, you know, hit from a much larger organization. They point to the fact that Chris Darden is actually representing Nipsey Hussle's killer, the fact that, you know, the kid got bond, et cetera, bond or bail or whatever. And typically in a capital murder case, that's not usually a given when a person has a murder charge like that against them. So, you know, all sorts of things are just kind of flooding, you know, the airways, the timelines, and it's just kind of something we've been talking about. So I've been doing a lot of talking on this, Ted. So I know you had a connection with Dr. Sebi, and I know a little bit about him, and I've heard so many things about, you know, good and bad about, you know, what he was doing. And I'd love for you just to kind of talk and weigh in and give some of your perspective on it and everything, because I'll be honest, I don't know which side really to land on at this point. I mean, a week ago when it happened, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, that was strictly a gang hit and everything. But then as time has crept along, now I'm looking at it very differently. So, you know, maybe you can kind of give your thoughts and theory about what, you know, what happened and your connection with Dr. Sebi. Did that, do you think that played anything in Nipsey Hussle's murder, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, you know, before I do that, why don't we take some calls and see, yeah, let's take the pulse and hear what people's thoughts are.
Well, I'll get to that, but let's, you know, because I'll get to the calls and everything here in just a second. So, but go ahead and give me your thoughts.
Okay. So I spent some time with Sebi. I spent time with him here in New York, where I first met him, and then I went down to his place, to his home in Honduras, and I stayed there several weeks. Man, this guy cut out a place in the jungle, basically. It's a sort of a resort / healing center, and he I think he was in his 70s, early 70s when I met him. And woo, man, that guy is a firecracker. He is like full of energy. Just his speech, his movement. I mean, the guy told me he used to be overweight, and someone taught him how to use plants to heal. And so he experimented on himself and then other people, and it was amazing traveling around Honduras with him, and he was like a celebrity. People were coming up to him saying, you healed my sister's cancer and diabetes, and he told me all these stories about how, about different people, that from AIDS to cancer, bone cancer. He told me story after story, and then it was interesting to see people actually come who from Honduras, and he gets radio and TV interviews, so people recognized him when we were in a supermarket or a mall. So that was interesting. There's a woman, and I'm not good with celebrities, so I think her name is Left Eye. Is that correct?
That's correct. Left Eye was a member of TLC. She passed back in 2001.
Okay. So she bought a fairly large plot of land. I don't know if it was about 100 acres or so, right next to his. And she was going to help him expand because, you know, he has a great location now. And it's definitely a great place for healing because it's on a main road, except it's getting to the jungle and it's at the foot of a mountain. And he's got a hot spring. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but there's a stream in the back of his house, and it comes together with a regular temperature stream, and then there's another one that the water's coming from a volcano. It is so hot that you can't keep your finger in it. It's like boiling water.
Yeah.
He bought that land for that water because he said the sulfur level was so, it was high, that it actually helps push impurities out of the body. So, the alkaline level was like the highest he could find. So he bought that land specifically for the water that's there. So he told me that Left Eye was going to, she said, hey, Sebi, whatever she had, he got rid of it. And just a quick side, one of his clients was Magic Johnson.
Mm.
He said Magic Johnson no longer has HIV or anything else. It's gone. It's gone. But Left Eye said she said, "Sabi, for what you did for me, I am going to make sure the whole world knows about you, and I'm going to use my own money to do it." When some accident happened down there, she was the only one to die in the car. The other thing about Sabi, he tells you there's only one disease. It's mucus. You have too much mucus in your body, and if you eat foods that create mucus, there are all kinds of things that he would say eat and don't eat. He does chemical analysis of plants and all kinds of foods. He can tell you exactly how it bonds or it's not appropriate for your body, for humans. Fascinating. And he also told me that he wanted to go on to Oprah because he does radio show interviews here in the States. And all of his products are made here. They're made in the States, and he said he did that so he wouldn't have FDA problems. He said he could make them cheaper in Honduras, but he may have problems selling them in the U.S., so everything's made here. And he said he contacted Oprah several times because he wanted to go on the show. He said, you know, I want to help my people. And Oprah had no interest in having him on the show, like zero, nothing. He also wanted Farrakhan to endorse him because Sabi used to be in the Nation of Islam when Elijah Muhammad was running the Nation of Islam when he was alive. And Sabi was high up. He was very high up. So he was very close to Elijah Muhammad. And I don't know if there's a rift because he left the Nation of Islam. I don't know if there's a rift between him and Farrakhan, but he said Farrakhan wouldn't give him any kind of support either. So the American Medical Association, I don't know. The American Medical Association attempted to sue Sabi, and he acted pro se. He represented himself, and he won because they couldn't prove that what he was doing was wrong. They said he was a charlatan. And he won in the Supreme Court representing himself, and he had chemical analysis of all the plants and what they do and how they bond with the body. And he said, you have a pharmaceutical drug that mimics this plant, and the plant does it naturally, and there are no side effects. He just went down a list, and then they said, you have to bring some people you've healed. I think it was like 40 people showed up as a witness to say, I had this, here are my medical reports, I had AIDS, this is my T-cell count, after seeing Sabi, this is my T-cell, here's my cancer, you know. So he had witness after witness who were all patients, and it was highly publicized. So you can find the press on it. You should be able to.
Wow, that's very interesting. What, you know, so, I mean, pretty much the energy that's been put out there about Dr. Sabi, as far as his connection with Nipsey Hussle, has been that, you know, the very first thing they said, well, it must have been because of the documentary that he's planning on working on, which, you know, I always thought that was kind of thin. I never kind of really saw the connection with that because, as people, many people on, you know, social media and even with a little bit of research that I did for this show, one of the things that I will find, one of the things you'll find is that the information that Nipsey Hussle was working on is not anything that's really, it's not any sort of, you know, thing that's going to be redacted or anything that's some sort of top government secret. This is stuff that's actually on the internet right now. He was just essentially bringing it to the forefront to let people know because, you know, the average layman is not going to go and do the research and look online and find out about that. What they want is an easy way to kind of see it and visualize it, which, of course, is media, is, you know, going in and seeing it. So, I mean, when you were connecting with Sabi, was there any type of, you know, was there any type, I mean, I know you said that there was, you know, stuff that, you know, where Farrakhan would have worked with him and the government was working with him. Did you get any sort of sense that anything was kind of, you know, like about to happen, or was there any, was he worried about his, you know, was he worried about being killed or anything? I mean, do you know, or do you know anything about that?
Yeah, he knew that was going to happen. He told the story more than once. He said, his mother said, they're going to kill you.
Mm.
And he said, yeah, I understand. He said, I understand that. The one thing, I think he'd been married more than once, and I think one of the things that he made sure he did, he passed on all of his knowledge to his wives, and he has a daughter. I think she's still in California. So he made sure he transferred all of his knowledge and how he did things to mm-hmm. women, to the women in his life, his daughter, his ex-wives, and I think both wives have some kind of working relationship with his business and the medicinal herbs.
Mm-hmm.
So he was pretty good about passing that on. And he was really open. I mean, he's transparent. Like I asked him about, like, I have some knowledge of these things. Like, I lived in the jungle with Mayan Indians in Belize, and so I had a lot of exposure to natural healing and plants in the jungle, and I even spent time with the Hopi Indians here in the United States and Arizona, so I have a lot of exposure to that kind of thing. And I asked him about certain plants, and he would just talk through, you know, if I take this much and boil and do this and this and this, and he was like, and it'll heal X, Y, Z. He would just, like, talk you through it, walk you through it. So he wasn't hiding stuff. You know, he'd say, oh, this plant, let me tell you why this one is no good, let me tell you why this one is good, and the chemical analysis says so. I think he set it up so it would self-perpetuate, and maybe he did that because he knew his time was, it was just a matter of time.
Right. So it sounds almost like, I mean, sad to say, I mean, I don't know for any of you that have seen a Malcolm X story, if you remember the one that Spike Lee put together about close to 20 years ago, if you can believe how long ago that was, towards the end of his life, right before he was assassinated, it was just kind of a very, just, it wasn't joyous. And you remember he was just, you know, he was like, you know, kind of just barking at everybody, and his tone was different. And, like, you know, you had mentioned that Dr. Sebi, you know, had mentioned that his, you know, said his mom was like, you know, they're going to get you, bro. And that's got to be a, you know, that's got to be a large weight on you to just know, hey, all I'm trying to do is help people. All I'm trying to do is bring, you know, light to darkness. And to think that someone, you know, put into motion a way to harm you and kill you and take you off this earth just because you want to help others, I mean, you know, you just kind of sit back and say, what are we doing this for? What am I doing this for? You know, he doesn't, you know, he's got a family, and he's got, you know, like you said, he was married a couple of times, and he's got a mother. Nobody wants to see their child go through that.
Hey, you're muffled. Blair, you're muffled. You're muffled.
Oh, sorry. It's, you know, nobody wants to see their child go through that. And, I mean, the idea that you know, he had to deal with that, and that, you know, that's probably the reason why he was killed. And now here we are again, going all the way back to our topic, you know, dealing with the aftermath of Nipsey Hussle's death, just trying to kind of make sense of it, trying to kind of get in the right lane of, you know, what exactly. I mean, I've seen people literally go ballistic on social media because someone said, you know, this was actually a hit from the CIA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people just, I mean, they just flatlined on other folks. So this, it's really something that has, you know, kind of, as I said the word earlier, it's kind of polarized people because, you know, there are people who believe, there's just folks on each side, and it's just really getting to be kind of, you know, a challenge and a struggle to kind of, you know, even mediate and try to understand, like, what's really going on with this situation. So, you know, it's really crazy. So we're going to try and take a call. We have area code 615. 615, you are live and on the air. 615, 615, you're live and on the air. Okay. All right. Well, we're just moving on. So let's I want to come back to the whole Nipsey Hussle situation and speak on it and everything. As I mentioned in the show, we have a number of trending topics we're going to speak about. So we're going to go back and forth between each of them as callers come on. So real quick, if we could go to the situation with the lady in Long Island who is fired and everything. I mean, what are your, you know, give me your take on that. I know that was something that you were kind of talking about. Give me your thoughts on that whole situation, Tim.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, it's interesting how women have come together for Me Too, and they crucified men for things that happened 30 years ago. And you would think that a woman losing her job because her breasts were seen and called indecent. I mean, that to me, that seems more devastating to women. You would think that women would stand up and say, hey, you know, give her job back. And Blair, you have some motion in the background. It's a lot of motion.
Okay, my bad.
You would think that women would come together and say and take a stand and say, you know, that's inappropriate. I mean, you're going to devastate this woman's life by firing her because someone took one of her pictures and posted it. I mean, with today's technology, someone could easily just take her head and put it on a nude body and, you know, she wouldn't have a leg to stand on. But it seems that these were her breasts, and she sent them to a boyfriend. And, I'm just a little surprised that she doesn't have an enormous amount of support from women saying that's actually abusive to just hang a woman like that for something that she didn't even do. And, but then on the flip side, you say Me Too, a lot of men have been crucified from Me Too. So now I'm wondering,
right. Is
this now a way for men to retaliate and say anything that a woman does that's even just a little bit out of line or violates anything or has any kind of sexual implications that are generated from her end? So, you know, her breast, all the sexual implications, pornography, that they're just now going to, because so many men feel backed in the corner, that this is a way to retaliate, like almost like a form of resentment that, you know, when we talked about Me Too, we said, you know, some of this may come back and this may be a retaliation for men feeling like they've been walking on eggshells. So any opportunity they get to get back at women, I mean, this will just be a never-ending, that will create a never-ending cycle of men against women, and just there can't be anything healthy about that, especially raising children in that environment.
I made a very good point. I made a post about it in a group that I'm in, and I had said something very, very close to that there's going to be the whole Me Too movement. And you know, when I made the post, I got pushed back myself because they're like, well, why would that happen? You know, do you want women to not come forward? And I'm like, it's not about the idea of the women coming forward that the men are dealing with. You know, as I said on the show, I have no problem if a woman has been molested, you know, if anything has happened, if she has been raped, if she has been sexually assaulted or whatever, she should come forward and that guy should be dealt with. Absolutely. The problem is that we are seeing a growing number of scenarios where you find out that, you know, the woman really had kind of an axe to grind and a vendetta. And what happens is that, you know, there's no, oh, sorry, we'll just go back and everything is okay now. Well, now this guy's life is, for the most part, ruined. And I gave an illustration about Myron Roll, who is a Rhodes Scholar. He played in the NFL briefly. I believe he went to USC. And he was, I believe, charged, or at least, I believe he was charged by a young lady. I can't remember her name, but she's someone who actually does a TV show. And so, you know, come to find out that it was not true, and now everything about his life is under scrutiny. His medical license has been, you know, now they're investigating his medical license and doing everything that they can to make this guy's life hell. That's the problem that men have, is when you have these scenarios where women say, "Oh, this happened," or, you know, either there's an outright lie that happens, or there's an embellishment of the truth. That's what we got to get to and clear up. So that's where I think, you know, and I say all the time, what I think is going to happen is you're going to start seeing more and more scenarios where women are not hired in corporate America, because what's going to happen is they're going to say, you know what, this woman has, you know, beliefs that are very strong, and do we want the possible implication and the possible lawsuit come down the road because she feels that someone said, you know, XYZ. So, I think that's going to be something that we're going to have to deal with. So, yeah. So let's try and take another call. We're going to go to area code 919. I believe that's somewhere in North Carolina. 919,
yep.
You were live and on the air. 919. 919, you are on the air.
It's Shy Callers.
Okay. This is the third week in a row that this has happened, so I don't know what's up. So, but anyway, the number is area code 323-642-1387. We're going to keep it rolling. So, yeah, so I just think I think what's going to happen, Ted, is you're going to start to see more and more scenarios where women are not, where they're not going to be afforded the opportunity to have positions in the workplace, in the workforce. You know, men, especially if they are the hiring people, are going to look at a scenario and just say, you know what, this, you know, we went to her social media page and, you know, she's dogging men and talking about men and talking about men's behaviors. Maybe she might not, you know, she might be qualified, but she may not be the person we want to bring into our company. So I think you're going to start seeing that more and more.
It happens, but you can't prove it, can't identify it. So I know a guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Israel.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's from Israel.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll finish. Go ahead. I'll finish in a minute.
Yeah. So he's from Israel, and he works for, you know, a well-known company, and he said he has to always, when he hires someone, he has to always think about the company's best interest and make sure he exposes the company to the least amount of vulnerabilities as possible, liability. And so he said if he's interviewing and he has a white male, a black male, and a woman, regardless of her race, he said if it's tight between those three, he's going to take the white male, because he said that if layoffs come, if finances are tight and they have to make layoffs, they lay off the white guy, and he takes his lumps and goes and finds another job. But the minority or the woman could possibly sue and say, they only let me off because I'm a woman, or I'm black or Hispanic. So he said it's not like he's doing that to be racist in any way. He said, I just have to think about the long-term implications. And if they're all fairly even, I'm going to go with the person who's going to present the least amount of risk to the company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the one thing I was just going to add to it is, you know, for anyone that might say, well, you know, no, they really can't do that. Well, I mean, if you think about it, when you think about, you know, when you go into when you look at an organization and you think about their hiring practices of how they discriminate against African-Americans or any other race, they might say, oh, yeah, you did a great job. Thanks for coming in. And they kind of give the wink, like, no, we ain't bringing that person back and whatever. So if you understand that it can happen with us, I can definitely tell you it's happened with me. So if you can understand that it happens with African Americans, why then would you not also understand that there's kind of a boys club there, and might even possibly be women involved as well, but there's kind of a boys club that says, you know what, some of the things that she said, we went to her social media, some of the things she said in the interview, we really didn't agree with, so we're going to pass, we're going to go on to the next candidate. As I tell women all the time, this is kind of the blowback that happens with going after, men and especially going after a scenario, especially with it being a scenario where you go after men who may not necessarily have done what was put out there. So, like I said, it's an unfortunate thing. So we're going to try and take one more call. We are going to, oh, wow, my area code 614. 614, you're live and on the air. 614. You are live. Okay. All right. We're going to keep moving on. So, I want to revisit the whole thing about speaking about the whole scenario with Russell and Sierra. So, as I mentioned, the belief with a lot of folks, especially for black men, is that Russell kind of went below. What he should have gotten. And I actually see both sides. I'm kind of more on the side of thinking that, when I heard the idea that he had connected with Sierra, I just kind of was like, oh, okay, well, it's kind of one of those things that, she's kind of, for men, what they see it as is she's kind of, somewhat of a used goods. And I understand where men come from when they say that she's probably not the kind of person that he would have hooked up with, but it is what it is. And I just believe that, given everything that's happened, I think that it's a scenario where I think Russell could have looked at someone different, but it is what it is, and he's with the person he's with. It remains to be seen. Like I said, right now, everything, it seems like it's going to be a happily ever after. Time will tell if that's really going to be something that stabilizes over, over the duration. So we'll see what happens. What are your thoughts, man?
I can see. So really we have history repeating itself, and I think that might be a concern for guys. If you think back to that time when Madonna put an ad in the paper saying, I'm looking for a guy to make a baby with me, there were a lot I couldn't believe the amount of women who would say, I'm going to do like Madonna and just either find a guy to be my sperm bank, or I'll go to a sperm bank, because if Madonna can just get pregnant and raise the child alone, I can do the same. So I know people claim that they have their own thoughts and nothing influences them. But, I would advise that people take a step back, because the fact that you speak a language that you didn't create, English, Spanish, Mandarin, the language – everything in the language and your dress has been influenced by something. So, so many women were influenced by Madonna and thought it's okay. So the same thing with this Sierra. Well, I can go out and date all the bad boys, get pregnant, and I still look good. So some guy should accept me in my package. It's a package deal. And not every guy wants that. We had a caller a few weeks ago who said he didn't want a plate man. He was in his mid-30s, and he wanted a woman who was single. So some women feel like, well, it's going to be hard to find a woman who's single without children, and you should just accept it. And not all men want to accept that. I mean, it comes with an emotional and financial responsibility. I want to get to know you as a woman, but I also have to account for your child and get to know them, or if we're going to do things, we get married as a family, I can't exclude your child. Financially, I have to be prepared. And the worst part is, you know, if I marry you, I'm a guy who's gone out and worked, and I'm creating resources to have a legacy to pass on to my children, and having a child who's not of my blood is actually taking resources from my seed, from my children.
Right. Absolutely. I posted something on my page probably about a week ago, and essentially, it was actually a repost from a Facebook friend of mine, and I'm paraphrasing with this, so I'm not going 100%, but essentially the question was, what is going to happen, or how exactly should we or can we deal with the idea that we have so many of our women who actually have children, meaning that there's, you know, the idea of playing stepdaddy. I mean, I think by last accounts, I said 71% of our black women have children outside of wedlock. So let's just say of those who are not married, let's just say it's 50%. That's still half of the black women out here who have children outside of wedlock and don't have a authoritarian father figure in their life, right? So I posted it on my page, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure you saw it, Ted, and it was just, I mean, the comments were just out of this world. The majority of the men were saying, like you mentioned, like, no, I'm not going to play cleanup man to some woman and her, you know, her child by another father and everything. I'm not going to do it. I can start for, why do that when I can start fresh and, you know, find me a woman who actually does not have children? And, of course, that spurned, you know, comments from women who had children and saying, well, you know, you ain't got to do this, you know, you ain't want to. But the underlying issue is that it's still there. One of the reasons, and I'll just speak on this myself, one of the reasons why I have issue with, not so, I don't have an issue with Russell at all. I think Russell's a cool guy. So that's what, when I did the write-up, I said most people think that, oh, they're just jealous because Russell can buy Sierra this and do that for Sierra. That ain't even the case at all. The reason why a lot of men, and I'll explain to you ladies, the reason why a lot of men have issue with it is because what it does is it somewhat sets a precedence for women. Well, there's two things. Number one, it gives women the belief that this is how things happen even half the time, and they do not happen that way. And so I think when men see that and they see so many women championing Sierra's relationship, it's like, yeah, okay, be happy the fact that she, you know, found a husband. We're not, you know, poo-pooing that. But I think you have to understand that for women to have a belief now, like, that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm just going to wait for my Boaz, and I'm just going to wait it out. And for every Sierra that's out there that's happened to, there are thousands of women who do not have that ending. So I think this is where a lot of black men just kind of say, you know, you ought to be careful thinking that because Sierra was able to go get a Russell Wilson, and he's a dynamic brother, so again, I'm not putting him down, but to think that you can go out there, do whatever, and that a Russell Wilson, as you said, Ted, will kind of come and play cleanup man, that doesn't happen. That happens very, 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 very seldom. So this is where a lot of black men kind of part ways with our sisters and say, you know, I don't know if that's a message that you really want to put out here to our single sisters with children, that you can go out here, play around, let this dude do whatever, let this dude do whatever, and at the end of the day, there's going to be some guy who's going to be a knight in shining armor, and he's going to love you and love your children, et cetera, et cetera. Again, doesn't happen that often. So this is the issue that a lot of our men have with it. It is not, I'll repeat, it is not the issue of what Russell Wilson does for his wife. So, yeah, go ahead with your thoughts there.
Well, you know, there are guys who would say if she's a single mother, the one thing I know about her is that she makes poor decisions. And
right.
you chose the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. That's possible. You can choose the right, wrong guy. except you chose the wrong guy and you allowed him to impregnate you. And
right.
And the women will, so that's two poor decisions. And I don't, I'm not for or against abortion. So one, the woman gets the final word on whether the child is born. So technically, she gets the final word on whether she gets impregnated or not. So now she's pregnant. She has a child. So you chose the wrong guy, and you let him impregnate you. Or you chose the right guy, and you chose to deal with him inappropriately, and he left. So that's still a poor decision. So what makes... So the guy could say to the woman, why should I think that you've changed? Like, you now have a track record of making poor decisions. And if you have multiple children by multiple men, that makes it even more muddy. If you just stick with, you had a child, chose the wrong guy, and you allowed him to impregnate you, and she says, well, I've changed. I learned from it. And the guy could then say, well, if I would have met you while you were dating that guy, if I would have told you, hey, that's the wrong guy, you shouldn't even date him, that's not good for you, that's not good for your life, you're going to learn bad habits if you get impregnated. And the woman would have said, I know what I'm doing. I know myself. I can handle myself. Okay. So if you would have said that back then you didn't know what you were doing, what's different now? Because you would have thought you knew what you were doing back then, and now you're going to tell me all of a sudden you know what you're doing. You have a track record of not knowing what you're doing and making poor decisions. So that's where a guy could actually stand. And so now I'm going to help you take care of a child. And I get it. Children are important, except, you know, a guy will want to expend his own emotional energy and financial resources and whatever else, home, especially if you have multiple children. Is this going to be the Brady Bunch, you know, built in?
Right.
So a guy could have real concerns about that.
I want to come back to that real quick. Let me try to take another call, and see if we can get him on the line. Area code 347. 347, you're live and on the air.
New York. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Tina Marie. How are you?
Hi, Tina Marie.
How are you this evening?
I'm very well. I've been listening to you gentlemen speak, and I keep my word, I said I'm going to try to call in without technical difficulties. I'm glad I got in. There, no disrespect to Ciara nor Russell, but their relationship is on a whole different level because of the finances that they carry. They're not the typical black man or typical black woman.
Right.
You know, we're not going to find someone like Russell, and just like you gentlemen are not going to find someone like Ciara.
You don't know that.
Oh. True, I don't. You could walk out and, you know, Ted, I'm only using you as an example, okay? Find a megastar, okay? Maybe, but it's not likely.
Right.
It's not likely. It's not likely.
I mean,
you have to know yourself. I'm sorry, I didn't, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You have to know.
I'm sorry, I was going to say something. Go right ahead.
Keep going,
no, that's
Tina.
Okay.
Tina Marie, keep going.
You have to know yourself well enough of what your standards and what your parameters are. If we're going to be really true to come to solutions, we've all made mistakes. We've all made poor choices. And there's consequences.
Right.
For every action, there's a consequence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me do this. Let me give the phone number again. It's 323-642-1387, 323-642-1387. We have callers on the line. If you would just hold on for just a moment, we're promised we're going to get to you. The one thing I will just say to you, and I want you to finish your comment, Team Marie, is the reason why I think that celebrity relationships are so intriguing to many of us is that what it does is it's kind of a learning lesson. Yeah, we, you know, the average person is not going to, you know, marry a Russell Wilson. The average man is not going to marry Sierra, no question. But what I think what it does is it kind of, it, there's always a message and kind of something to learn from their relationship. When you look at R. Kelly, there's something to learn from that scenario. When you look at, you know, the situation with Nipsey Hussle, unfortunately, there's something to learn from that scenario. And so what I think we do is we don't necessarily look at the celebrity. We look at the message that there is. We look at the message that there is to be gained from, you know, whatever it is, whatever scenarios that they're dealing with. And in this case with Russell and Sierra, it's that for many black men, they felt that he married beneath his station, basically because
sure,
of
no.
the fact that, basically because Sierra, from what they see, this is, again, this is not me, this is just the majority of men, they feel that she was someone who was passed around like a joint, and basically all of a sudden after she's done and had her fun and done whatever, and comes with kid in hand, now she's like, let me find a good dude. As opposed to doing that, not having a child, and then saying, you know what, let me go ahead and find a guy. That's where I think the men kind of have issue with. So go ahead and finish your comment. I'm sorry.
I agree with that. I mean, I understand. I don't agree with that, but I understand because there's a lot of men out there that have slept with these women that they've ran through. Yes, was it a poor choice on the woman?
Right.
But it's also a poor choice on a man to sleep with everything that moves.
But let me
you
just,
again,
let
me like that's
you
where I go
this.
Back to say, you have to go back to having standards. A woman has to have standards just as well as a man has to have standards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want
mm-hmm.
someone that's slept with 200 women because then he's not being selective.
Here's the thing that I think is different with that, Tina Marie. I'll tell you two things. One, you have most black men, and this is a very easy fact. You can look it up through Google. Most black men don't have children, right? So the idea that they go out and sleep with, you know, however many women, they're not having children with these women. Most of our women have children by a small, select, random group of men, unfortunately. You know, the majority of our women, they have kind of a what I call a type that they want to have children by. And because, again, most of our black men don't have children. So that's the first thing. But go ahead with your comment. I'm sorry.
Most men don't acknowledge. I mean, I will look it up and I will research because that's something. I'm a lifelong learner. I'm a lifelong
absolutely.
Learner and I'm a teacher. But there are a lot of black men that do not acknowledge a child, that they will leave. That creates that single mother. And it's not fair on either end. It's not fair to the child. Let me just put it that way. They could both make better. If you know once you have sex with someone, there's a possibility if you're not using protection or whether you are using protection, there's that slight percentage that get pregnant. But if you're you're not willing to be responsible, the whole key is my comment is, or rather statement is, be responsible. Don't just lay down with someone and not be responsible.
Right.
Because,
really,
and again,
by.
With this, I'm sorry, I didn't
was
cut you
say,
off.
All, no, I'm going to say,
go ahead.
Quick,
I'm sorry.
All we can really go by is the numbers. So if there are black men out there who have a child and then they don't acknowledge that child, well, you know, shame on them, absolutely. But all we can go by is the numbers. So the numbers basically say that this is what black men are doing and this is what black women are doing. You know, all we can go by is the fact that. Number two thing that
true.
I would say is that it's okay. I heard noise and everything. The second thing
sorry.
I would say is no, it's okay. The second thing I'll say is that you have a number. I mean, you mentioned about, you know, black men need to be careful who they sleep with and sleeping around, et cetera, et cetera. The majority of, again, I'll go back to my point. The majority of our women sleep with a certain type of man. There's a certain type of man that just does not. The majority of good men that are out here, our women don't really like those men. They don't sleep with them.
Hey, Tina Marie.
Tina Marie.
Yeah, I'm here.
Your phone on mute.
Yes, I don't know if you're watching
I can't hear you.
Or anything, but
mm-mm. That's not me.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
All right. I don't know.
Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Can you hear me?
I can. We can hear you just fine. And I want to give the number real quick, and I want to kick it over to Ted. The call-in number again is 323-642-1387. I see the multiple callers on hold. I promise you I'm going to get to you here in just a second. But, yeah, there's a small kind of pool of men that our women would rather be with and sleep with and impregnate. As a rule, they don't sleep with and get pregnant by those good quality men. They usually get pregnant by the bums and the scrubs. And then they're very upset because these bums and scrubs don't step up. Well, you got to go back to the root cause. You slept with a bum. That's the issue.
So,
Gina, are you there? Oh.
I'm here. I heard you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
go ahead, Jeff.
Gina, this is not a black or Latino problem. This is something that's happening in the U.S. And one of the outcomes of so many women looking for the bad boy is this. It's a movement called MGTOW, which means men go their own way. And there are millions of men. And if you just read some of the comments that, I mean, I feel bad for a lot of these guys because you can hear their frustration and actually anger that so many of them have been put into the friend zone, or the women. There's so many women that will go date a string of bad boys and now have baggage because they had bad experiences because they couldn't change the bad boy. And now they want to be available for the good guy. So this is a problem, and it's such a big problem. I mean, it's happened before, but I think it just hasn't happened to the scale that it is now for guys to actually say, "Hey, forget this. I'm just not going to even date or pursue women because me." Setting myself up to be a good guy, I have a great job, you know, I'm educated, I'm a gentleman, and I'm failing at being what women claim they want. And a lot of guys have learned if they want the reward of the affection of a woman that they have to be a little rough around the edges, even if they're not that person. So there's this whole movement of MGTOW, of guys who are, I guess you could say it's in retaliation to the enormous amount of women of many different races who have said, you know, they want to be equal to men and they want all these things, but they want men to do all these things, except the men feel like they're losing. They're not getting the affection of women. And it's even more pronounced amongst millennials. So this is a big problem. Women, too many women like the bad boy.
Okay.
And so when she gets pregnant by the bad boy, then the guy who she friend-zoned, she's available, and she wants him to play daddy to the child, you know, that she had with the bad boy, and he's saying, "Why should I? You knew he was a bad boy. You know what bad boys do. Like, everyone knows what bad boys do. It's like, you know what it's like, the story, Blair and Tina Marie, do you know the story about the scorpion who wanted to get to the other side of the river?"
Yes.
I do not.
Yes.
You do not? Okay. So there was a scorpion who wanted to get to the other side of the river, and there was a frog about to jump in the river, and a scorpion said, "Hey, let me hop on your back, and you take me to the other side of the river." And the frog said, "Hell no, there's no way. You'll sting me right in the middle, and I'll die." And the scorpion said, "Hey, I just want to get to the other side of the river. Why would I sting you? I'm going to have much appreciation. I'll thank you. It'll be so great. And the frog was like, no, it's too risky. So eventually the scorpion convinced the frog that I'm going to be a good guy, and I'm going to let you take me to the other side. So scorpion climbs on the frog's back, and just as they get to the shore, scorpion stings the frog. And the frog, as he's now dying and falling into the water, the frog asked the scorpion, why did you sting me? And the scorpion said, it's my nature. Like, what did you think I would do?
Right.
So if you get with a bad boy and he impregnates you and wants no responsibility, he's like the scorpion. What did you think he was going to do?
Right.
And so
I've heard
then you want to go have a relationship. Then you want to go have a relationship with a good guy, and he should take care of your child. And there are a lot of men saying, hell no.
Right. I've heard a similar story like that.
Right.
With it was centered around a snake, but yes, very, very, very true. Very true. And the thing about it is that, you know, I mean, you mentioned about the scorpion. It had to do with convincing. And, yeah, that's, I mean, it's such a true story. So, you know, like I said, the reason why celebrity relationships are so interesting to us, I think obviously there's a sector who like the relationship itself, and they like the glitz and the glamour. But I think in every relationship, you can talk about Jay-Z, you can talk about Russ and Sierra, you can talk about Kim and Kanye. I think you can learn something from each of those relationships. And I think that's where it becomes very provocative to a lot of people, because it's, you know, it's something that you can kind of just look at and say, you know, okay, that makes sense. Hey, Tina Marie, I don't know what you're doing over there, darling, but you got a lot of noise.
Are you in the
here.
Kitchen? Tina Marie, are you in the kitchen? Tina Marie?
I don't know.
Hello, I'm
she's
here.
Still
she is.
Okay.
Are you in the kitchen?
I'm here. No,
are
I'm
you
in my
kitchen,
dining room.
Tina Marie? You're in the dining
no,
room.
Sir.
Are you moving? You're moving things around?
Yes,
and
I was
picking
moving.
Them up? We can
no, no,
hear every move you make. We can hear everything.
Okay, I'm putting you on mute now.
Okay.
I'm putting myself
so, well,
on mute.
All right, cool. Well, I'd like you to stay on the line. I'm going to try to take another call real quick. We're going to go to area code 516. 516, you're live and on the air. 516. 516. Oh. So no 516.
Wait, 516. She must have us on mute. Come on. I know 516. You have something to say. Come on.
I don't. You know, I'll. You know, maybe I'll come back to her, him or her, whoever it is. So, So let me. You know, let me. And Tina Marie. I mean, I know you said you're on mute and everything. So I. You know, if you want to weigh in, feel more than free. The whole issue with Russell and Sierra, like you said, is that a lot of men see it as a lot of black men see it as playing cleanup man. And whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, if anyone wants to debate that or whatever, come at me. You know where I'm at. We can talk about it or whatever. But that is how the majority of our men see the scenario. Again, it is not about what Russ does for Sierra. It's not about any sort of, you know, pride or embarrassment or anything of that nature. What it is, you know, when you think of someone like a Russell Wilson, you think that he would be able to get pretty much any type of woman that he wants. And for him to say, well, I want to get, you know, a woman who already has a family, and not only that, but a child by a silly drug user, that's really all I can think about when I think of future. I mean, if there is anybody out there that I could think it could be worse as far as the entertainer, I don't know. But, you know, I think it's the idea of, you know, of that, and I think it's also the fact that it kind of gives young ladies who may be in that situation a belief that this is how things normally happen, and it's not. So that's, you know, that's pretty much my take on it. So, yeah. What are your thoughts, Tina
well,
Marie?
Well, it's what Tina Marie said. They, because of their financial status, they have have access to much greater resources, so it's much easier to manage and deal with that. Mm-hmm. But if a guy makes like $50,000 or $60,000, that may be a stress on him financially, especially if he has no children and wants to have children. So, and that's why I mentioned Madonna. I mean, Madonna put an ad in the paper. I'm looking for a guy to impregnate me. She has financial resources to do that. The problem is when you have celebrities and we glorify these actions, women, there are some women who will follow suit. They say, well, if she can do it, it must be okay to do it. So whether it's Madonna, Ciara, or anyone else, it will influence other women who will think, I can go out and play with a bunch of bad boys, and then I'll find me an NFL player or some dude working on Wall Street making, you know, $250,000. Probably not likely.
Right, probably not likely. And it's a message I try to preach to my sister so much that, you know, whether it's a situation like Russell or whether it's just, you know, some guy that you just met at the club and he's, you know, charming or whatever, that does not happen the majority of the time. It doesn't even happen half the time. Not a half the time, not a quarter of the time. So, as I mentioned, I just don't want it to give, you know, my thing is I don't want it to give gas to women who say, see, it can, it, you know, those type of things can't, no, that it's almost like a lottery winning. It's almost like winning the lottery. So this is the thing that I just try to help women to understand is put it in its proper place and understand that, yes, Ciara got very lucky. You know, I mean, I think the combination of her resources and money that she has and then, you know, combined with the fact that Ciara is, you know, for looks purposes, I mean, she is what most men would classify as very, very attractive. So I think those two things, you know, coupled with it, I think maybe made the situation a little bit and kind of greased the skids a little bit better for Russell and made him say, you know, okay, maybe this might be a decent situation. So, you know,
Blair,
that's my
thing. Try that 516 again.
Okay. Give me a second. All right, we're going to go to area code 516. You said 516, right?
Correct. Long Island.
Okay. Long Island. Is that where that is? Okay.
Where teachers get fired for having topless pictures.
I heard that. Tina Marie, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. All right. Let me try to go to 516. 516, you are... Give me a second. My computer is going a little slow.
Okay.
516, you're live and on the air.
Give me a second. My computer is going a little slow. Okay.
Hello, 516.
516, you're live and on the air.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello, 516.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
This is 516. How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah.
Good. Could you
turn your radio?
Ma'am, could you turn your radio down in the back?
Someone has their radio on in the background. We can hear it.
Ma'am, could you turn your radio down in the back?
All right, I'm good.
Awesome. Okay, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Gabrielle, I'm calling from Long Island. You are like a second from referring to calling Ciara a whore. It's like, I don't understand why you're begrudging her journey. That's what it sounds like to me. Like, I know we've all made mistakes. We've all done things we've regretted. But you are like, really, really like she's lucky to have him. I don't understand why you're taking that position.
Okay. Do you want to address that, Ted, or should I?
No, first let's hear Gabrielle. What do you think of what do you think of Ciara and how she handled her past and relative to the kind of guy she has now? I mean, I would assume they're not the same caliber of men that she dated in the past. So
well, that's not the case
happened?
With anybody. I'm sure, you know, we've all had our different people in our lives. When we grow, we, you know, all the rest of that. That's for everybody. That's for everybody.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if that's a fact. I don't think that's a fact, everyone. I know a lot of women don't like you to generalize. There are people who have done that, but there are a lot of women who have not done that, a lot.
This is true, but there are a lot of men that have done it, and a lot of men that, but you can't begrudge someone their journey. I mean, she's found happiness. And the other thing that, what's his name? Blair said earlier, that, what was he saying? I'm trying to remember how he put it. He was saying that men look at Sierra's marriage, or his marriage, as being lame.
Oh yeah, on the thing, yeah, yeah. That's not my
lame,
word, but yes,
right.
That is what they see it as. Yes, absolutely correct.
So, like, where do you get that from? And who are these women? No, excuse me. Who are these little girls that are sitting back, waiting for my prince to come, just like he came for Sierra? You know.
Right. Right. Okay. I'm sorry, and please forgive me for that. What is your name again? I'm so sorry. I forgot your name.
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle, okay, sorry, I won't forget it again.
That was your reason for men feeling that his marriage is lame. And that comment that marriage is lame, their marriage is lame, doesn't even line up with that reasoning that you just gave.
Okay, I don't know if I understand the last topic, but I'll definitely address it. No question. So, you know, first of all, as I mentioned, and that's why you're looking at my write-up that I had. If you notice, it was in italics, which basically means that that is not your wording. That's someone else's thoughts. And that's pretty much, you know, I don't know if you know anything about, you know, what I do, Gabrielle. I speak with a lot of people, a lot of black men specifically. And these are the words that they normally put out about the situation with Russell and Sierra. In addition to that, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the entire show and the dialogue we've been having, but one of the things that I mentioned is that most men, most of the black men who spoke about the situation with Sierra, do not begrudge the fact that he is married and they are happy. I want that to be made very clear, that we're not talking about their happiness. We're not poo-pooing that at all. What we are speaking on is the idea that a person, specifically in this case, Sierra, can go out here, allow these men to do, and when I say these men, these hoodlums, bad boys, whatever, allow these men to just do whatever for the better part of a decade, have all that happen, get pregnant by one of these hoodlums, and then decide, you know what, it's time for me to get myself right. Instead of saying, you know what, let me do this while I don't have a child, while I don't have to bring someone else's seed into the scenario, I can do this on my own. Do you understand the difference between that?
No, I understand that, but you cannot begrudge someone their journey. We all grow, you know, from the time she was younger and she was making bad decisions, maybe. Who knows what else was going on in her life. But now she's, you know, getting herself together. So why are we still belaboring her journey? Like, I'm sure there's some things that you've done that you might be ashamed of in your entire life.
Well, Blair, I want to say something. Blair, I want to say something. Gabrielle, do you understand that there are a lot of men who say, I do not want the emotional and financial responsibility of another man's child? And a man has a right to say that.
And that is absolutely their prerogative. Totally agree. I wouldn't want a man that wouldn't want all of me. So, yeah, I get
that's
his prerogative.
So a man is going to look at his resources financially and say, and he may even look at the kind of men that she chose and say, well, if those are the kind of men that you like, whether you call them thugs, bad boys, hoodlums, whatever you want to call them, you may have learned certain bad habits from being in that, and I don't want to inherit that from you or your child,
and
I just don't want to be part.
Ted,
I don't want to be part of that.
And you know what, Ted? That's part of the getting to know that person process. That's you. It's a special kind of inquisition, or how do you say interrogation? You have to do.
Interrogation.
When a woman has a child.
Interrogation.
You know, that's what you like to call it. You know, but that's what you find out, and you have the right to not want to deal with that. You have the right to do that. Absolutely.
Right.
So, the last thing, Blair. And so a guy may look at her and say, I got it. In your mind, woman, you believe you've changed. But from where I'm standing, you have a string of poor decisions you made in the guys that you slept with. And you made a poor decision to have a child by a guy who you knew he wasn't going to stick around, or he
and
wasn't following
you. And if
you
are begrudging my journey, if you're going to make keep
no, no,
making
no.
my mistake,
just let me
the situation,
finish.
Gabrielle, just keep walking. It's as simple as that.
No,
it's
no. But this is what guys are saying, that they are walking. They're saying is that if I would have said to you back then, these are poor decisions, you probably would have said, I know what I'm doing, and I'll be fine, and I can handle it. So so the guy may think you're still a poor decision maker, and you are too much of a risk. It's not that I'm begrudging you. It's I don't want to expose my life to someone who has a string of poor decisions and at the time thought they were the right decision, and then come into my life and continue with that behavior of poor decision. That's too risky. Especially after
thorough communication and getting to know each other, if that is what you conclude, that is fine. That is fine.
Let me ask you, there are guys
who say, I'd rather, since time, my time is valuable, I'd rather spend my time with someone who doesn't have a string of poor decisions.
And as a single mother,
you're
right, and I'd rather not waste my time either. It's fine.
We should
try to find these things out real early so nobody's wasting anybody's time.
Now you see that this is what Blair is saying. This is how there's a growing concern and a growing number of men who are taking that perspective. They're not condemning the woman. They're just saying, I don't want to go down that path. I'd rather take my time is my most valuable resource. And if you have a child, if you've been with bad boys, I'm just cutting it. I'm not even going to – unless you just want to have fun, that's fine. But I'm not going to take you seriously because you didn't take yourself seriously.
I think the assessment of a woman that has a child is more than whether she has a child. It's like, how is she doing financially? Is she self-sufficient? Can I partner with her, with or without her child? I mean, those are the things that you should be looking at. Unless you just don't like children. But if a woman is a single mother and holding it down and she's a legitimate partner material.
Right.
How would you know she's a partner? I mean, she has no track record of doing that.
It's about, like you always say, Ted, it's communication. It's interrogation. It's whatever you have to do to get to know a person. Okay? You know,
whatever you have to do
to get to know a person.
Have I converted you into an interrogator?
You know, that's your favorite word. I hate it, but that's your favorite word. You don't communicate, you interrogate.
Interrogating is just a way of examining a person. When you go to the doctor, they're going to interrogate you.
Can you imagine, like I said on Facebook, if two people interrogate each other, that's pretty much a fight, you know? That's not communication, that's mutual sharing.
No, only if you have a combative mindset. I mean, you can look. You're a lady. You know how to be. You know how to be a lady like and get what you know as in a feminine way. You can do that, just like a guy.
Why did you stay together so long? And why did you put up with this? And what?
Oh God, who talks like that?
let me
put your dukes up. Put up your dukes.
Exactly.
Let me say this. Let me say this, and we're running out of time. We got less than 5 minutes to go on the show and everything. So let me just kind of say this real quick to your point, Gabrielle. We are the only race of people that basically wants our men to pretty much accept someone else's child. In any other culture, Asian, white, Hispanic, Somalian, we do not really ask that of the men. We are the only race of men where the predominant amount of our women come to us and say, hey, I have a child by another man. Would you be willing to accept that? Now, those are real facts for you. That may be something that sounds very cold, but it's the reality. And so the whole problem with the scenario with Russell Wilson, as I said earlier, is not, and I'll repeat it again, it is not his marriage. It is the fact of why would you begin a lineage and a family with someone who already has a child, and not only a child, but a child by a reckless drug addict. That's the problem. Let me finish, Gabrielle. I'll allow you your moment.
Let me finish.
Because like Ted said, if it was a scenario where she had dated a gentleman who was a doctor and he's like, oh, it just didn't work out, and then she dated an accountant and it didn't work out. No. She's dating bums. She's letting all the scrubs and all the worst men do whatever they want to with her. So like he said, yes, her logic is flawed. Now you're taking a woman with flawed logic and now saying, oh, okay, she's ready. She's the best that I could do. Is she really? That's the
I don't
a
think
woman
that's
with flawed logic who has a child by a drug addict, that's the best you could do? That's the problem that men have with it.
Well, why do men have any opinion about his happy relationship?
Why do men have opinions? Oh, wow. Now who's sounding crazy?
Well, Blair,
no, but seriously, why does anyone care? She's happy. He's happy. Why can't we all just be happy for them? Most women are happy for them.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Most women
well,
are happy.
I hear you, man.
So you're making men sound like gossipy women.
No. The first thing he said to you is that men are happy that he's found a good relationship. That's the first thing he
but
said.
But why her?
Because it sets an example that other women will follow, and they believe that she did it, so I can do it. That's the concern.
No, that's not how women think, Ted. Nobody's sitting back thinking,
sure,
oh, this is going to happen
you,
for me.
Sure,
let me walk this down. We only got about 2 minutes and everything. The majority of black women have children outside of marriage. They do not have children with a good quality man. That's why the majority of the men end up walking away right after the child is born or during the pregnancy or whatever. Would you agree?
I think there are a lot of single, parents out there. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank you. Now we can agree on them. The majority of these men that they sleep with are not.
Excuse me, Blair?
No, we're going to run out of time. We're actually going
to
run
out
of time.
I'll hold my comment to the page.
Let her have her last comment. Go right ahead.
Tina, talk about it on Facebook, too.
No,
I will.
Go ahead,
I definitely
Tina
will.
Marie.
Yes,
go ahead, Tina Marie.
Thank you. I'll be real quick. There are good men out there. Okay, because we're not even touching the subject of going, because single parent is something that I'm passionate about, because I am a single parent. I was. And I have to say, I'm a single parent by choice because we divorced. But we're much happier than we were in the marriage, but our daughter is still the common denominator. And he's a good man, but he just wasn't he's a good father, but he wasn't a good husband.
Right. Now, I will say this because we've actually got about a minute left. Your situation is a lot different because you actually show the belief that you believe in marriage and you at least did it the right way. The majority of our women are not going about it that way. That's the problem that we have.
Because we're not, so they're not taught. Or just like the men are not taught how to be husbands.
Okay. All right. So
thank you very much for calling in,
Gabrielle. Thank you for the previous caller as well. To the callers who were not on the line, please say something next time. Thank you very much for listening to the show. This is Blair Nash and my host, Ted Santos. Say bye to everybody, Ted.
Hey, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. And we look forward to having the same provocative conversation next week. And we will interrogate you callers when you call in.
Have a great week, everybody.
Take care. Bye.
I'm